Y'all better put him in the Heisman.
Got that award right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light Seltzer, for those anytime easy drinking occasion.
Guys, I've been listening to y'all since this show aired.
Just wanted to tell Ty, I appreciate how much you know about the Razorbacks. I mean, you're very knowledgeable for as young as you are.
There are people that have saved up all year and done whatever it took just to get a ticket, just to get a glimpse at the Razorbacks.
Got my keg in the freezer. We're ready to get this thing rolling and go home, baby.
Got a text from Andy in Mount Home saying Hog basketball team has a lot of flaws. Well, they had won every game by that point to double digit, but they had not played anyone close to the caliber of the Missouri Tigers and Konzo Martin squad, and we saw what happened when they played a team like Missouri. And listen, Justin Smith, he's out 3 to 6 weeks. That's an issue. It's an issue of, hey, they hadn't played anyone to the caliber of that team, so they got to adjust. You can't really sleep, though, because you got Tennessee on Wednesday.
Yeah, I wonder if, you know, the Tulsa game didn't happen. Tulsa's pretty good basketball team this year.
And that was going to be a road game.
That was
going to
be a road game. Mm-hmm. Ty, I wonder if they had played that Tulsa game, maybe some of these issues get exposed a little bit. It'd be interesting to see what would have happened had the Tulsa game not been canceled. And they actually go on the road. I know this game was obviously at home, but I'm just saying they'd played a little higher caliber team than most of the rest of their non-conference schedule. So, hey, I don't think this season's over or, hey, they can't play. I mean, but this is a key injury, and Musk talked on his coach's show. He talked after the game about it. He talked again on his television show last night that, you know, in 4 years at Nevada, he had no injuries. And then in the last 2 years at Arkansas, he's had Isaiah Joe and Justin Smith with critical injuries to his team that's going to take players away, and we know what happened with Isaiah Joe last year, you know, what, 4 games he was out. Now we're looking at 5 to 10 games with Justin Smith out 3 to 6 weeks. You know, this is critical, and this is the same level, not that Justin's the same level player as Isaiah Joe, but he's as critical to this team as Isaiah was to last year's team.
Averaging 12-7 and is the most athletic guy on this team. He's been playing the four a lot of times, so he has the uniqueness of being 6'7". He can guard the 4 or 5, and then it's just a matchup nightmare on the other end. You don't have that. And they were looking for whether it was Jalen Williams. Vance Jackson is yet to find his consistency, and I wonder if Vance is going to be the Gentile Silla of this basketball team this year, where he just never finds his role and his playing time and his ceiling never materializes like you thought it would. We had Vance on after he committed to the university and signed with Arkansas. I was really excited. 6'9 wing, playing the 4 and 5 on this basketball team, has a good step back, but he just has not found his shot consistently so far, and that's been very disappointing for Eric Musselman.
Yeah, no, but with Justin out, that's still no excuse for the way this team played offensively. I think they missed him defensively probably more than the offensive end. There's still no excuse for a team shooting 26% for the ball game, 26.8%, 19 of 71. Arkansas shot it 71 times from the floor, made 19. Missouri shot 51 from the floor, made 24. You know, Arkansas shot it 20 more times and made fewer, with 20 more attempts in the ball game. So you mentioned the points in the paint and the attempts in the paint. Arkansas has got to be much better there. The misses around the basket were horrendous. Missing him doesn't fix all of those from Saturday. I cannot imagine another game, even against a Tennessee, who they're going to have a hard time with. You got Georgia and LSU coming up as well. Not going to be easy games. I can't imagine Arkansas shooting more poorly than they did on Saturday.
Pons and Fulkerson are going to eat Connor Vanover in that front line alive. It is going to be awful to watch, and I hope this team responds. I hope they wake up, because if they walk into Knoxville and Thompson Bowling Arena the way and the form and the manner that they played on Saturday, they're going to get beat by 30. And you mentioned the layup, 6 for 25. Eric Musselman went ballistic, not only during the course of the game he was ejected, but he also was angry after the press conference. And I have no problem with Musk getting ticked and being, all right, you want a coach that takes things very seriously when his team loses. Here is what he said to the Arkansas media following the game about missed layups.
If you look at how many layups we missed, I've never in my entire coaching career seen so many missed layups.
I think the stat broadcast system said you guys were 8 of 30 today.
That's about probably about 5 more than I thought we were. I mean, that you can't make this up. You can't make up that you lose a game by double digits and cause 21 turnovers.
And that's he points out an interesting part of this basketball game. They did force Missouri into a lot of mistakes, and they just weren't able to take advantage. And the size, it kind of felt like last year at times where you did have some plays, but anytime they would go up against Tillman, who had, I think, 25 and 12 in that basketball game, they just either got their shot rejected or it was a shot altering. And another thing, speaking of just finishing layups, Connor Vanover, you got to get strong, yeah, man. There were about 3-and-1 attempts that he could have had, and he got touched, and he either missed a layup, missed a dunk, or whatever. You got to go up like a man. This is not the Pac-12. This is the Southeastern Conference. You have to play, and I like Connor. He's a Little Rock kid. We had him on the show, too. But my goodness gracious, dude, you have to go up like a man. You are 7-3. Make your layups, make your and ones. Finishing that, you can, and I know he's still got some meat to put on his bones, and I know, but there has to be an anger inside of you when you're near the rim. There has to be a finishing mentality, and he's yet to showcase that this season.
Yeah, I mean he plays a little meek at times, and you'd like to see a nasty streak in him come alive. Does he have a? Have you ever seen him play with a nasty streak? So I don't know that he has a mean streak in him. Can you recall a moment? I mean, even a flash in a game where he had a mean streak or a nasty streak come alive?
I've watched him since he was in high school, and there's certain guys that just don't necessarily have that. I know at times he tries to play a little more aggressive, but you have to play like that. You're giving up, I don't know, how many pounds do you think he was giving up to Jeremiah Tillman in that game? I mean, quite a few. And so when you play someone bigger, and he's going to play guys that are bigger than him, for example, Ponce and Fulkerson, who he'll have to match up with this Wednesday. You have to play with the tenacity about yourself. It has to be Arkansas angry, and I don't know if he has that inside them, and even a full offseason. And listen, he's gotten better. I'm not going to deny that, but this was one of the things this is what I was telling you guys all offseason. He's not going to be the player that you guys are going to make him out to be. He's not going to be a double-double machine. He looked like that in non-conference play, but these conference games, it's just not going to happen. And he was broke. Him and Desi were broke on Saturday. Where was Desi Sills in this game? We've talked about how much of a part of the team that he's in. Desi, you can't have the performance you did on Saturday with one of your key guys out. He can't have that at all.
Yeah. Justin Smith out, you've still got to find a way to make chip shots inside and make baskets. And that's really concerning. I thought Muss's tweet, and I don't know if this was heat of the moment, but his tweet about being really concerned, that wasn't being overly concerned about the confidence level of this team right now was pretty troubling, pretty telling.
Better wake up.
Yeah.
You're playing the best team in the Southeastern Conference on Wednesday.
Maybe the best team in the country. I mean, certainly a top three team in the country. There's no question about that.
Talking about Tennessee?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, they just lost to Alabama at home. I don't know if I'm going to go that far.
Okay, they were before that.
Yeah. You know,
Jimmy Dykes and about every expert said that.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast.
Does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're number three. And nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
Lot of big news tidbits this morning. We'll start with what's happening here at home in Fayetteville, Arkansas, with the coaching staff on the football program. Justin Stepp, first reported by Football Scoop, is leaving for South Carolina. Mike Bobo is the OC. Shane Beamer is the head coach out there, son of Frank Beamer, and they have hired him. Now, he grew up in a town about 30 minutes from Columbia, grew up a Gamecock fan. This, to me, seems like a lateral move if you're just looking at the job. And if you look at the wide receiver room for Arkansas with Treylon Burks, who's going to be an All-American candidate next season, Mike Woods, who had his best season to date, you're getting Devion Warren back and some other guys that he's brought in that you should be excited about. It makes more sense to, from a talent perspective, that Arkansas is the better job, but home's home. Yeah, and I think that's why he's ended up home.
Where is the wife from? You may know this information. I don't. That might also provide a piece to the puzzle. But he played at Furman. That's another part of it, which is back there at home. So, you know, home is always attractive. And, you know, not being a connecting flight away from seeing family, not being able to just jump in the car and be a few hours drive, or maybe even less than an hour's drive from seeing your family, certainly when they're getting to a certain age in life and a stage in life, is important. So there's a lot of things that factor into this. I agree with you. This is a lateral move at best. In fact, you could make the case that it might be a slight step backwards. I don't know that, you know, you can say, well, how can you even make that case? You're homering up for Arkansas when Arkansas has not won very many ball games and no SEC games until this year, over the last couple of seasons before this year. I get that. But I think when you look over it over the long haul, I think Arkansas has had the better program than South Carolina, you know, over the last 15 or so years.
Yeah. I also got one of buddies that listens to the program. He said that his twin brother's coaching at Georgia State in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. Yes. His parents, we talked about being there, and he probably wants his kids to be around his grandparents. So again, home's home. And I'm not going to ridicule him. I'm not going to pick on him. But like you mentioned, it seemed from our – and I know we look through with Razorback sunglasses or whatever, but – from the wide receiver room, and I know they got one guy. I don't remember if he's moving on to the NFL or not, but Arkansas has a pretty good unit that he's stacked up. Mm-hmm. And I know that they've lost a couple guys. They've lost Shamar Nash. They lost TQ Jackson, a couple four-star guys that he had in. Trey Knox is probably if I had to put some money on it, Trey Knox is probably going to be gone after this season. I think he transfers out somewhere, because that's a bummer to me, because he's my favorite wide receiver in that locker room. But when you have guys like Traylon Burks and Mike Woods, it's hard to let them go, but looks like that's exactly what we're doing. We'll get to who looks like he's going to replace him coming up. We do want to welcome in Doug, who's in South Arkansas this morning. Doug, what you got for us on a Monday edition of the Morning Rush? Doug, you there, man?
Oh, it's Justin.
Hey, Justin. What's going on, man?
How are y'all guys this morning?
Man, we're not too bad. How are you?
Oh, doing good. Hey, I got two things this morning, one question and one statement there. Connor Vanover looks weak. He has got to finish at the rim. As big as he has got to finish. And if y'all heard anything on the transfer from UALR, I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
Justin, appreciate the call. So we got a text earlier that Josh in Greenwood said, or was it Brandon Paris actually texted it. It's like, how do we need to tick off Connor Vanover off to get him more physical? Tommy, I know you wanted to answer that.
Well, I mean, he needs a mean streak to him. I don't know what it takes, but you watched him in high school some. I watched him at Baptist Prep, Arkansas Baptist in high school. He never had to probably be very mean. Him and his brother were always the tallest guys on the floor, and it was always maybe easy for them. I don't know. He seems meek a lot of times, and maybe that's just his nature. I mean, but he never seems physically aggressive when playing. He never seems physically aggressive on the basketball floor when attacking the glass, when going after a loose ball, when boxing someone out. I don't know what it will take to, quite frankly, piss him off, to get him to go after it physically with somebody. Because you're right, Tillman just seemed to physically have the better of him, and quite frankly, you just want it more. That's the way it appears. I don't know that that's a fair way to put it, but he needs to find a mean streak, and I don't know how you pull that out of him, if that's in him to get out of him. But that's what you want to see, is some kind of mean streak, some kind of nasty streak.
Josh in Greenwood texting, he feels like that Eric Musselman gave Connor Vanover too much free rein from the three-point line. Yeah, Connor just wasn't feeling it. He really hasn't felt it these last couple games, and that's part of the reason that you keep him on the floor, because his ability to shoot the three ball, well, when he's not shooting, I know he's still blocking shots and altering shots, but he's just such a liability at times on defense, it's difficult. I know they've had to change how they do the pick and roll, how they orchestrate their defense, whether it's three-point, pick and roll, however the case may be, but with him being a slow foot speed wise as he is, you just have to change up a lot. When he's on, stick him on the floor. Give him more minutes. But Tommy, he went 0 for 11, including 0 for 5 from 3-point range. Yeah.
But
that's not.
There may be a game where he's 4 for 5 from 3.
Exactly.
I mean, you just don't know. So, but you get a feel early. It seems like whatever it is early in the first 10 minutes is what it's going to be for the game, generally. It generally doesn't start out 0 for 3 and then become, 5 for 8 with him. So,
whatever it is, early, quit shooting. If you're 0 for 3, 0 for 4 to start, quit shooting. Just go block some shots. Get some rebounds.
And he was also, Justin from South Arkansas was asking about Kamani Johnson. Kamani, so the NCAA is doing the waiving the transfer rules, and I can't remember if we got that officially that he can play or not. Do you remember? I thought he could.
I thought he could.
I thought that was the deal.
It seems like a month since we read that.
I don't know if he's going to crack the rotation. Maybe he will with the loss of Justin Smith, who, by the way...
I think I'm 80% that he is eligible.
Okay. By the way, on Justin Smith, he's out 3 to 6 weeks having successful right arthroscopic surgery on his ankle. This is a guy that was averaging 12-7 for you this season. He's the most athletic guy on your basketball team, and he was missed heavily on Saturday.
And Musk talked on his television show, Courtside with Eric Musselman last night, with him and Chuck about just missing him on the defensive end as much as the offense. You mentioned the 12 points, but I think the changes they have to make defensively. And I think you could just see and feel the frustration in the postgame press conference. And they shoot this TV show just, you know, literally minutes following all the things that Musk has to do in the post game, then they go right into that. He was still, you could tell,
hot,
you know, hot under the collar about everything that had unfolded in that ball game. You could see and feel the frustration on him that just, here we go again, dealing with another critical injury to a key player that's going to dramatically change the way I have to construct this team and try to get through 5 or 6 or 7 ball games this year without someone that I've got to have to win. And the key component, and I think defensively, from the way he was talking, Ty, it sounds like defensively they're going to struggle more than offensively without him.
Yeah, it's going to be tough, and especially against Tennessee, who's the best team in the Southeastern Conference, it's not getting any easier. Back to football, so we mentioned Justin Sepp, he's gone. Again, first reported by Football Scoop that he's going to coach the same position at South Carolina. Well, you wonder, hey, who's going to be the next one? Whether it's Hog Sports, whether it's Otis Kirk at NWA, there's a bunch of people, Arkansas media, that are reporting. Kenny Guyton, who played quarterback at Ohio State, was the wide receivers coach at Colorado State this past year, has also done it in other places. The connection with Kenny Guyton and Kendall Briles is they were both there in 2017. Guyton is from the Houston area. He would have those Houston connections. 24/7 Sports listed him as one of the 30 under 30 rising stars in the college football assistant ranks. So that's kind of good that he seemingly might be getting an up-and-comer. But all indications, again, not official to this point, all indications are pointing that Kenny Guyton is going to be your next wide receivers coach at the University of Arkansas.
Well, I mean, if he's offered the job and doesn't take it, that's an even bigger concern, right? Because it would be a major step up in class going to a big conference like the SEC and a school like Arkansas, and you would assume the money would be far greater than what he's making now. So you would think the job is, if it's offered to him, would be a no-brainer to take. So no questions there. So to me, that's a Kendall Briles hire. If Guyton is offered the job, that indicates to me, now maybe I'm reading between some lines that aren't there, that Kendall Briles is here to stay as your offensive coordinator. That feels like to me, and am I overreading this, that that's a Kendall Briles hire?
I mean, I would think with
being the Houston connection.
That's so, what I thought. But, right. I mean, I don't fall. I'd be lying. I didn't know who Kenny. I had heard the name Kenny Guyton, and I remember, and I was like, why does that sound familiar?
The Ohio State connection.
Yeah, the Ohio State player. He took over for Braxton Miller at a certain point, didn't play a lot at Ohio State, but a couple times Braxton Miller was injured, he took over the quarterback role, and I was like, that's what it was. But I couldn't tell you. Like if at that point, I could not tell you where he was coaching, but it was at Colorado State.
So. Now, I love how there's so many out there on Twitter, some in the media, some not in the media, some parroting the media. Hey, this is a great hire, great pickup. I mean, most of them are like us. I mean, we got to do some Googling, do some research, do some reading. Doesn't mean this guy can't be a great coach. I mean, I don't have an opinion really one way or the other. The first thing I had to do is figure out how to say his last name, you know, and make sure I'm saying that correctly. I love how everybody's, because he possibly is going to be the coach, now he's all of a sudden maybe the greatest wide receiver coach to ever coach the game in a matter of about 12 hours. We'll find out, you know. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we'll, you know, I just want to figure out whether or not this is an indicator of Kendall Briles' desire to leave or whether he's even a candidate for some of these jobs. And I think that's somewhat of a stretch, whether or not Kendall Briles would be a top candidate for a Texas or an Alabama job. I don't know that that would be the case. To me, my concern would be who would fill those jobs at Texas or Alabama, and maybe Kendall Briles becomes a candidate for one of those jobs because the dominoes will start to fall.
Guess we'll just have to wait and see. Yeah. You brought up the Texas job. Tom Herman has been fired by the University of Texas. It was, what, $14 million that Pete Thamel reported? So that's his buyout. Whew. They brought in Steve Sarkisian, who will coach the national championship game against the Ohio State Buckeyes. But we're just going to have to wait and see on who Texas and Sark hires as his OC.
If there's anything I've been more wrong about in the last 3 months, it's schools being unwilling to fire. We thought there'd be a few, but there's been more than a few. I've been flat wrong about schools being unwilling to turn loose of money to fire coaches in what, $14 million at Texas plus what they're going to pay Stark. It's going to be $24 million that Texas has to pay the staff in total to get to clean house. Plus what they, now Texas is more the exception than the rule on what they can afford. Texas has money laying on top of money. I mean, they just stack it to the ceiling, but it's incredible. We're talking about South Carolina taking your wide receivers. It's just incredible the number of schools this year that have already made changes in head coaches this year.
Keeps on happening.
In a COVID year where you think money's so uncertain, the future's still uncertain, it mattered.
Doesn't seem to be the case.
Pulling the trigger.
Couple of college football tidbits for you. Chandler Morris is transferring from the University of Oklahoma to TCU. Greg and Fort Smith, I wanted to talk about that. I was kind of surprised to see that, but Chandler actually scored in the Big 12 championship game. The opening touchdown for the Oklahoma Sooners, he was the one that actually stuck it in the end zone. So we'll see.
To run the ball.
Yeah, we'll see if he has success or if he plays for Gary Patterson at TCU. I couldn't tell you what their quarterback situation looks like at all.
Is that an indicator that dad's going to be back and family sticking around the Dallas metro area? Is that an indicator of anything?
That's what we were talking. I was talking with some Morning Rush listeners about that yesterday, and I haven't seen anything about Chad Morris to Dallas-Fort Worth TCU, but that's not to say it couldn't happen. Who knows?
I would be surprised if Chad Morris had another coordinator's job at the college level. Could see him as a position coach somewhere at a non-Power 5 level. But I could also see him being a highly coveted, top-level Texas high school coach again. And, you know, those jobs don't pay as good as college jobs, but he spent a lot of years. And listen, he's made enough money. He's not worried about retirement. He's not worried about financial security. He's still got a lot of money coming his way from the University of Arkansas and from Auburn, I guess, at this point. Or I guess mainly from the University of Arkansas is where the guarantee is going to be from. So financial concerns aren't one that Chad Morris and his family have.
Yeah. Other college football news, this close to home. So Tykeus Crawford, who was once committed to the University of Arkansas from Carthage, Texas, since decommitted, ended up going to Charlotte. He was in the transfer portal. All indications, 24/7 Sports Rivals, all the recruiting websites, looks like that he is going to commit at some point today and become an Arkansas Razorback. Four-star kid, 6'5", 335 pounds. Sam Pittman many times has talked about need at the offensive and defensive line. Well, you might fill one of those needs today at some point. I think he's committing at 11, if I remember that correctly. I'll double-check on that. But looks like you might be getting another offensive lineman for this 2021 recruiting class.
Yep. So, guy, you know, like you mentioned, went over, had your eye on originally, you're hoping to get. Now you know, after a year's wait, get your guy in the end. And we thought originally three offensive linemen weren't enough. They would fill some holes through the portal or other places, and we're seeing evidence of that now.
Burlesworth Trophy, it's going to be announced at noon today. Grant Morgan, a finalist, one of three guys that are up for this trophy. Tommy, there's a very good chance at 12 o'clock today there's a lot of happy Razorback fans.
I'm going to be really disappointed and honestly surprised if Grant Morgan's name isn't called. You know, we don't know a whole lot about these other guys. But you just think about a guy who's It seems like every other day, every 3 or 4 days, we're getting some kind of press release from the university about some other honor that Grant has already received, whether it's another All-American team, whether it's some kind of other postseason honor he's been named to. I can't imagine after the season he's had, the stats he racked up, knowing his story, what he's overcome with injury, he doesn't win the Burlesworth Trophy.
And you think about, we've talked about the committee. This is no joke of a committee. David Baker, who's the CEO of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Gene Stallings, who is a national champion head coach at the University of Alabama. Herm Edwards, Kurt Warner, Jim Lindsay, Ken Hatfield, Danny Ford. I mean, there are some big-time names that are making this decision. Really excited to see who they select later today.
You know, and this committee, and I know it's changed in evolved over time, but they've never really had a great chance to name a Razorback to its name, you know, to this award and its namesake being a Razorback. I would think when you have and this would be legitimate. This wouldn't be a stretch.
It's a second leading tackle in college
football.
Right, this
wouldn't be going around the block. This wouldn't be, you know, he doesn't really deserve it. We're going to give it to him anyway because we're going to, you know, make a homer decision here.
Yeah.
This would be a legitimate decision to give Grant Morgan the Burlesworth Trophy. So, when you have the chance, I would hope you would lean that way. And I know that's asking you to be a homer, but, you know, out of these three, this is legitimate. And I think when you stack up his resume to the other two, it's hard for us to not be biased, but to me, it's clear cut.
Let's talk some NFL. I do want to get to what happened, unfortunately, to Brandon Allen yesterday and to the Dallas Cowboys. But first, Adam Schefter reporting. Dan Mullen to the NFL.
Some coaching news. Marvin Lewis interviewed with the Lions this past week. Dan Mullen on the college ranks is open to going to the pros, as is Pat Fitzgerald. Ryan Day of Ohio State has no intention of interviewing with NFL teams.
That was wild to hear Scheffner. Again, Scheffner is one of the best NFL mouthpieces in all of, like, his reporting is pretty ironclad when he says something, when he puts something on the record. And this was reported. Harry Dog texted in about Dan Mullen to the Jets, which I think would be a fascinating discussion, especially if the Jets decide, you know what, Justin Fields, as good as you looked against Clemson, if you pan out against Alabama, we might have to draft you second overall.
Well, the NFL is a what? Quarterback league. Dan Mullen is known for what?
Quarterbacks.
Being a quarterback coach and a quarterback whisperer. So it would make sense that someone looking to inject new blood into their coaching ranks and their head coaching room would be interested in Dan Mullen just because of nothing else, his ability to develop a quarterback. Now, could Dan Mullen adapt to the business side and to the ruthless nature? Not that the SEC isn't ruthless, because it is, but the NFL goes to another level. Could he adapt quickly to how the NFL operates from a business standpoint?
You bring up a great term there, ruthless. Stephen A. Smith was ruthless on the Cowboys' outcome yesterday.
Didn't I tell you? It was just a matter of time. I told everybody, just wait. Be patient. What can't go wrong will go wrong.
Your thoughts on the famed ESPN talent?
You've been planning that segue for 51 minutes.
Set it up perfectly.
No, I'm sure he set that up perfect. Yeah. Cowboy's going to cowboy. That's just about the way it always is. I mean, they had the game right there when Gallman fumbled that ball at the 30 or 35, wherever it was. I was like, oh my God, it's fixing to happen. And then now we got a new butt fumble. Or not a butt fumble, but recovery.
The butt recovery.
So Mark Sanchez may get some relief on that, but our defense was just atrocious and couldn't get a stop when we needed it to, and it is what it is.
Yeah, it was difficult to watch because I was sitting next to two Dallas Cowboys fans, and we went nuts because Gallman had the first down. The game was over. All he had to do was sit down, and he then it was wet. He then inexplicably fumbles the football and somehow, some way gets back on top of it. You know who you should be mad at? Is the not any of your Cowboys players, not Mike McCarthy, not Jerry Jones, the one cameraman who got the angle of Gallman recovering the football for a half or 2 seconds.
Pretty much that whole review. We were in good shape, and then they put up that one little angle, and for 2 split seconds, you see a ball in a Giants hand. It's like, God almighty.
We do know that if the Cowboys had won, there's no way Washington would have pulled it off last night, though, right?
What's more painful, what occurred yesterday, or if you guys had won and the Washington football team had won last night?
Doug Peterson, what in the world?
Were they
clearly throwing that game or what last night? Holy smokes.
They went from, what, the ninth pick to the sixth pick?
Sixth pick, yeah. I mean, it makes sense for them.
But how the hell do you take Jalen Hurts out?
Because you want the sixth pick.
Well, what's really the difference in the sixth pick and the ninth pick?
How do you not kick that field goal to tie the ball game?
Fair.
There's a lot of questions about what happened in that game.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast.
They just threw him out of the game. They just threw him out of the game. He's gotten his second technical, and he's been thrown out of the ball game.
Tom, at one point we were talking about potentially Trevor going to the Atlanta Falcons. He's going to be a Jacksonville Jaguar in a couple of months. Just kind of your thoughts on his career as a Clemson Tiger, crushing Alabama as a freshman in the national championship, and just what you've seen from him with only two losses as a college football starter.
Yeah, that's the bottom line for it all, is he goes in and he wins games. And he's a modern-day quarterback, you know, cerebral, but mobile. And some of his running has been huge in some of Clemson's big wins. And I just think that's the direction you got to go. And that's why having Felipe Franks this year, who is a decent scrambler, and KJ, who we think is going to be an even better scrambler, who can drop dimes in like he did against Missouri, bodes well for the Kendall Briles offense. So, kudos to Clemson for going into Georgia and getting that kid right out of the Atlanta suburbs and plugging him into a system that he could thrive in. And the NFL, I mean, you think about the Deshaun Watsons and the Kyler Murrays and guys like Trevor Lawrence. They make defense. That's why the league, they're scoring more points, because the quarterback can run and they're just so much harder to defend.
Let's talk about the other college football games. So Trevor and Clemson come up short against the Ohio State Buckeyes, and Notre Dame falls to Alabama. Now, they did cover, but they were dominated throughout the majority of that game. Tom, with A&M beating North Carolina and Notre Dame losing the way they did you believe that A&M deserved to be in that fourth spot and match up against the Alabama Crimson Tide?
Well, I'm an AP voter, and I voted A&M third on my final ballot. Some would say, oh, that's SEC bias. But look, I mean, I got to see those guys firsthand. Their loss to Alabama came early. I'm not saying that they would compete, you know, have a tighter margin than Notre Dame did. But look, Notre Dame had a good game plan, as everyone has pointed out. But they got jumped on. You know, Alabama scored the first three times they had the ball, touchdowns. And they hung in the game. So you have to give Notre Dame credit for that. I don't know if you throw a name out there, Cincinnati, Georgia, even A&M. You pair them against Alabama in that semifinal, and that's about the margin you're going to get, if not worse. And I think it's been a great bowl season for the SEC. The losses, Florida, huge personnel issues, and Oklahoma, a team on the rise. I get that. And then Auburn put up a decent fight, but Northwestern was really salty that day. Those are the two losses. Otherwise, to me, the Mississippi State beating Tulsa. So Tulsa is a team that's, you know, a top 25. They played Cincinnati right down to the wire. And one of the worst teams in the SEC handles them in their bowl game. I mean, and then Georgia beat Cincinnati. So it's been a great bowl season for the SEC.
Yeah. You mentioned that Tulsa game with Mississippi State. Kind of a bad look for Mississippi State, again, to have a second end of a year, because they had the Egg Bowl the year prior, and then the coaching change, then technically the end of this year with another brawl or fight or however you want to classify it, but just an ugly, bad look for Mississippi State once again.
It really, really was. Brawl, fight, melee, whatever. It was not pretty. And for the kid Malik Heath to laugh and think it was funny, finish him, when he kicks a dude in his face mask, that ain't cool. And he needs to face some type of punishment. And I'm sure the SEC office has had conversations with Mississippi State. It's a horrible look. And I don't know what facilitated it. It looked to me like Errol Thompson, the Mississippi State linebacker, took out a guy who was going for the ball on that onside kick, and the guy didn't see him coming, and it was a crushing blow. And I think Tulsa might have taken exception to the blindside nature of it, and it escalated very rapidly.
Yeah.
And, that was really, really bad. I didn't like the look of that.
So, in the end, Arkansas obviously does not participate with their bowl game being canceled. What did Arkansas miss out on this week? You don't win, but you don't lose. You're not part of the mix. What do you miss out on by not being a part of this?
Yeah, I think you miss out on, if you win the game, then the complexion of your offseason is a little different. You know, hey, we just beat TCU, a team that was 6-4 and had finished really strong, former conference rival. We go down to Houston, one of our most fertile recruiting grounds, and we beat TCU. That's what you miss out on. What I wish had happened is that they had officiated the Auburn game properly. Arkansas gets that win and then wins one other one. Then they're higher up in the bowl pecking order. Then they play in a bowl game, maybe down in Florida or, you know, somewhere, and their opponent can actually show up. That's the frustrating thing, too, is that they were that close to, say, doing like Ole Miss. I mean, they beat Ole Miss head-to-head. Ole Miss had a better record, but they also played South Carolina and Vanderbilt and Kentucky from the other side. And so they wind up down in the Outback Bowl. Mm-hmm. And a great chance. I'm not sure what bowl they were in. Outback, it was a Florida Bowl. Mm-hmm. And can beat Indiana. So that they missed out on that, for sure.
Tom Murphy with us here on the Morning Rush Talk. And Tom, let's continue to talk Arkansas football, move kind of to the coaching carousel that's going on. Justin Stepp, he is heading to South Carolina. Just kind of your thoughts on his departure and what he's meant to the football program with all the four-star wide receivers he's brought in the last couple of years.
Yeah, he has been a fantastic recruiter, obviously the only carryover from the Chad Morris staff. And I heard a little bit of rumbling and complaining that, you know, why would he make a, quote, lateral move? Well, Columbia's his hometown. He's got a young family. He's growing. He'll have a stronger support system there in Columbia. I get it for him. You know, John Scott Jr. did the same thing a few years ago, moving to South Carolina, his home state. So I get it. And, you know, Kenny Guyton, the guy who's going to be coming in, it looks like, Ohio State quarterback, seen as an up-and-comer. I think he was in the 30 under 30 ratings this year. Has already been at places like Texas and Houston and my alma mater, Louisiana Tech. And I think he's going to be a fantastic recruiter. Dude's from Houston. And it just plugs right into where Arkansas is right now with their recruiting preferences. So mm-hmm. I think it's a great ad, and I mean, missing Stepp is going to be big, but I think Kenny Guyton can step right in.
Tom, you mentioned you're an AP voter and you voted Texas A&M as third. Are you a Heisman voter as well?
Yeah.
Okay. I know you can't tell us publicly, but because that's like against sales rules or whatever. Did you guys have to? When is the last chance that you can vote? Is there a cutoff point where you can vote for the Heisman Trophy for you guys?
Yeah, I want to say it was a Monday or a Sunday about a week and a half ago.
Okay.
After the championship games, wasn't it?
Because that's
the conference championship. And
the reason I asked that, guys, is because Devontae Smith had three touchdowns against Notre Dame. And I wonder if you had been able to vote today, because I know the presentation is tomorrow. Tom, I know you can't tell us who you voted for, but was your opinion changed based on how the college football playoff games played out this weekend and the performances of those Heisman guys?
It was not. And I saw some TV dudes and other folks, you know, you signed this or you checked this box that says you're not going to reveal your vote. And then I heard people calling different games who kind of revealed their vote. But I don't know. I guess that just has gone on for years. I'll tell you this. I also had an AP vote for it wasn't AP All-American team. It was some other team. Football Writers All-American team. And I voted Devontae Smith as my player of the year. So I just that's what I did for my player of the year and on another ballot. Mm-hmm. And look, Trask and Mac Jones had fantastic years. And Justin Fields, look, give him credit for what he did in the semifinal after a not great a Big Ten championship game performance. He just did not have enough data. And Trevor Lawrence had a big year, too. But he missed a key game that they lost. So I felt like it had to be Devontae Smith or one of the quarterbacks in the SEC. Yeah. And Smith's touchdowns were unbelievable. And the difference he makes in games, like, look, Arkansas was holding Bama close. But they held him to a field goal on the first drive. They got a fourth down stop on the second drive. And you're like, this is late in the first quarter. And it's a 3-0 game. Or I think Arkansas went down and kicked a field goal. Wasn't it 3-3? And then Smith gets an opening on the punt return and scores it. So he's a fast guy. It's amazing to me that he stayed for his senior year. And I think he's going to have a great, great pro career.
Yeah. Anyone that voted Trask like one or two on their ballot was wanting to recall or resend that ballot after the first quarter of that, that Cotton Bowl, I assure you. And anyone that probably didn't have Najee Harris on their ballot probably wishes they had a chance for a mulligan there as well.
Man, guys, look, Najee Harris, when he makes contact, he keeps his balance. His center of gravity stays low. He takes the contact. He has spin moves. He jumps over people. He had a fantastic end of the season. I mean, he is a different style of running back, and he is very good.
Yeah. Hey, real quick, let's talk about the basketball game, because obviously that was the kind of the main entree of the Razorback weekend as Arkansas took on Missouri. Disappointing offensive performance. Obviously a lot of missed baskets right around the rim. Eric Musselman gets ejected with just under 4 minutes to go in the game, and kind of a thud of a sound as Arkansas hit the floor in their first SEC home game this year at Bud Walton Arena. Just a very disappointing start, and Arkansas now 1-1 in league play.
Yeah, it was a real eye. Here's what I thought. The Auburn game, Auburn likes to run, and they shoot threes, and it's kind of wide open, and they're young. So that was a freewheeling game. Arkansas got to the rim. They made their threes. And then they get right into this, up in your face, up in your chest. You had to really work for good offensive shots in that game. And it was just a different style. And I think it threw them off a little bit. Now, some of Vanover's threes were wide open. A couple of Desi's were just wide open. I cannot imagine they will have another 1-for-21 combined repeat performance the rest of the year, or really anything close to that. So I think we're going to see a bounce back. Look, Tennessee is going to be a really tough opponent on Wednesday. So that's an uphill climb to win that game. But what was really noticeable was when Vanover or Desi took a three, you didn't see an Arkansas guy, you know, pushing in there for an offensive board. You just saw a clean, easy defensive rebound for Missouri. And that's where I thought they should have been stronger, is maybe having another guy at the boards. So they're going to have to work out what they do for the Justin Smith spot for a few games until he can come back.
Yeah. Tom, before we let you go, man, the NFL playoffs are set. The number one seed in the NFC is the Green Bay Packers. In the AFC, it's our Kansas City Chiefs. What playoff matchups are you looking forward to in the NFL in the next couple weeks?
Yeah, you know, I have not watched a ton of the NFL, but I think I told myself last night, I like a lot of these matchups, and I'm going to watch some games. If time allows on the weekends. I like the Browns and Steelers rematching after playing yesterday. Mm-hmm. The Steelers kind of reeling a little bit. And I'm just intrigued by the Browns. You know, after all that hype before last year with Freddie Kitchens, didn't work out. And then they put it together this year. And they overcame all their COVID issues the last two games and got in the playoffs. I love that. Hey, I'm a Bills fan. I like their uniforms. I like their attitude. And they're just so low-key. So I will not root against them against the Chiefs, but I just kind of like their vibe. And then the NFC, I do not want the Seahawks to win. In fact, I think the teams I want to win in the NFC, all of them are probably going to lose. I would want the Washington football team to win and the Bears over the Saints. And what's the other matchup? Seahawks and Rams. I'd want the Rams and the Bears and the Washington football team to win, but the other three probably will.
Tom, we really appreciate your time, buddy. We'll talk on Thursday, talk a recap of the Arkansas and Tennessee basketball game in Knoxville.
Yeah, sounds great. See y'all then.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast.
A bright red Razorback caravan is headed to Nebraska, and this time, we're coming for the whole damn thing.
Speaking of Alabama, they got a big win over the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. Backdoor cover. I'll give Notre Dame credit. They did cover in this football game.
Yeah, but it wasn't as close as the final score indicated.
And I you knew this was coming, but I'll tell you what, it warms my heart on a Monday morning to know I was right about the Ohio State Buckeyes. It warms my heart that every single one of you Morning Rush listeners who love to oppose the opinion that Ohio State did not belong in the college football playoff, and I did not argue from a resume standpoint that they belong. I said from a talent standpoint and from the fact that I thought they were one of the best four teams in the country. Justin Fields, despite playing with looked to be a rib injury, just looked unbelievable against Dabo and the Clemson Tigers.
It really looked like one team had fresh legs and one team was tired from playing 11 games and one team had only played six. I mean, it's really what it looked like.
It did, yeah.
It really looked like one team had played half a schedule and one team had played a full schedule.
It did,
That really looked like the difference in the ball game.
Is it the entire difference? Because what was the final score in that ball game?
A whole bunch to not enough.
So you're telling me that, because it was, 50? I don't even know the score.
Fatigued and wore out, yeah.
We'll see. It was, Jenkins, you know the score at the top of your head? I'm trying to look. 49-28.
Yeah. Three touchdowns worth.
Man. And a late touchdown at that. But really, the funny part of this football game was the post-game presser and the Trevor Lawrence comments. Did you hear those by chance? Of that idiot reporter talking about his mustache?
I read about it. I didn't hear it. I
had a really good game.
Poor Trevor needs to shave his stash.
Please mute if you're not speaking.
Thank you.
I wonder if a man had commented about a woman's appearance,
Travis had said, and I read that's where I read about this was on OutKick.
Oh.
That's exactly right. I mean, where's the outrage?
Oh,
where
man.
Is the outrage? I mean, you're exactly right. If a man had made some kind of comment about a female's appearance.
It'd be World War III.
As Clay Travis wrote, there'd be 1,000 woke pieces written.
Oh, man.
I mean, unbelievable. Where, you know, he laughed it off, but where is the outrage? There is none. Everybody, ha, 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 yuck it up.
Oh, man.
And listen, I think we all should gain a sense of humor about some things. But and I know, and everyone listening knows.
Shoes on the other foot.
If the shoe was on the other foot.
World War III.
There'd be the woke community would be on alert.
I want to know if, okay, so let's say when, I guess it was Notre Dame and Skylar, I'm just trying to think of some like Brittany Griner, Skylar Diggins, or Diana Taurasi or something. That's way back. UConn. But if like a marquee number one overall draft picked in WNBA and someone had said something about their parents over Zoom, I mean, it would just be.
And clearly this was one that they didn't know they were speaking to the mat. They were just making a offhanded comment, didn't know everyone was hearing them because they weren't muted.
So
one of the downfalls of new technology.
So Trevor, unless something crazy happens, he is the next Jacksonville Jaguars quarterback.
And she's right. That mustache needs a... I think it's worse than any facial. Your facial hair is better than his.
It is, yeah. His hair is so blonde and majestic. Speaking of hair, I need to decide what I'm going to do with this. It's about that 6th or 7th month period that I need to get a haircut. So I haven't decided if I'm going to go with the mullet round 2, a ponytail, a normal haircut, or a buzz. Those are my 4 options. I might get our listeners to decide what haircut I'm going to get. Those 4 options.
You'll never pass up a chance to get some social media attention.
Yeah, because it impacts the show in such a fantastic way. It boosts the Morning Rush morale.
Still waiting on that.
It boosts the Morning Rush morale. But I haven't decided again, ponytail, mullet round 2, normal looking, good looking haircut, or a buzz. I haven't decided yet. I used to get a buzz every single year. Just took it all off.
Yeah.
Took it all off. So I haven't decided yet, but we'll get to that. But yeah, the Trevor Lawrence stuff was funny, but just the Ohio State Buckeyes in the form of fashion, they dominate. Justin Fields.
Well, they look good.
This is something to watch. Trevor Lawrence, unless he decides to come back to campus, will be the first overall pick for the Jacksonville Jaguars. If Justin Fields beats Ohio State, the Jets are in a situation where they have to draft him or their fan base is going to revolt.
If Justin Fields beats
Alabama, okay. If Ohio State and Justin Fields beats Alabama, sorry.
You
then
made me confused.
The Jets are going to be in a situation where they almost have to draft him or their fan base is going to lose their minds. Right. Even though they probably shouldn't, they probably stick it out with Darnold. That's kind of the situation that they should be in. They're going to find themselves in. Or if he just has a really good game against Alabama, there's going to be a lot of New York Jets fans that are advocating to draft Justin Fields in that second slot.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Bud Light Seltzer, 5% ABV and only 100 calories. We'd put it up against any other seltzer out there.